Welcome to this edition of the God is Your Life broadcast. This is Reverend Mark Slay inviting you to join me for the next few minutes as we get into the Word of God. Deuteronomy 30:20 tells us to love the Lord your God, obey His voice, and to hold tight to Him, for this is your life. I'll be back in a few minutes, but for now, let's listen as I teach from the Word. Micah chapter 4 is a prophecy. Now, we already looked at Sunday, and I'm going to turn you back to that, Micah chapter 5, and just show you the accuracy by which these prophets spoke. People think that, and you've heard people say it, I'm sure, the Bible's done away with, or the Bible's outdated, or, you can't really take all of that stuff literally. Well, understand that when Jesus spoke symbolically, you didn't take it literally. You took the symbolism or the point out of what he was saying. But yet, what he was saying symbolically, he meant literally. So, but in Micah chapter 5, this startling prophecy that was written hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, the Jews all understood this to be a messianic prophecy. In other words, they knew, you understand that we in our Greek background, Gentile background, don't know all that the Jews knew. The Jews knew there was coming a Messiah. You read John's Gospel, and one of the interesting things you'll find interwoven throughout John's Gospel is the fact that they all kept wondering, is this the Christ? Or is Christ, you understand, is the Greek word for the Hebrew word, which is Messiah. So Jesus Christ was not his last name. But Christ was just the Greek term for Messiah. And in the Hebrew, it was Mashiach, but the Greeks would call it Christ. And so, you understand, Christ or Mashiach just meant the anointed one. So they all knew there would be this anointed one, and it was no mystery. Everybody knew he was coming, and you'll see that over and over through the Gospel of John. Could this be the Christ? Is this one the Christ? Now he can't be the Christ because he heals on the Sabbath. Well, he came from Galilee. The scriptures say that the Christ, comes from Bethlehem or other places. You understand? And it's interesting, too, and I don't know if one of these days I'd love to just read, starting in about the 3rd or 5th chapter of John's Gospel, and read to about the 12th or 13th chapter, and just see the insanity that existed then that is just like today. All the misinformation that was passed around that was inaccurate, but yet the people held it as truth. And you just see that over and over and over as you read through there. But as I said to you, that, in fact, hold your place there. We're going to get back to Micah there. But look at Matthew chapter 2. I brought this up last time, but I want to bring it up again just to show you this point now, that these prophets were well respected and that everybody knew that what they said could be counted on. And in that second chapter of Matthew, and this is Christmas time, so of course this is good to have about this time as a reminder, but he says in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 2, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi came from the east, arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now see, these Magi, as they were, or Magi, however it's pronounced, were people that had an appearance from the Lord, not the Lord himself, but just a sign, an angel. And they said, there's his star, and there's unto you a child is born. And so they're following this star to where Jesus was. And so they get to this place, and they start asking, well, where is this guy? Where's this person that's supposed to be born? Now look, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. In other words, this is born the king of the Jews. And when Herod heard it, he was troubled. Verse 4, gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them. Now this is Herod, gathering the chief priests and the scribes. The scribes were those that would, copy the books and so forth and make copies of it and go through all of those details. And, the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests were, of course, the religious group. So they would know, supposedly. So he calls them together and he says, inquired of them, where's the Messiah to be born? Now notice the term, where's the Messiah, the Christ in Greek, but he was, a Jew, and so he said, where's the Messiah going to be born? So it was, you see, the idea is it was common knowledge that the Messiah was coming. They all knew it. It was well expected on their behalf. And even this heathen king, full of hatred, Now, you understand that just because you believe a scripture doesn't mean that you're saved. Because here's a guy, he's like, you know, I kind of believe this. Hey, you know, where is he going to be born? And this heathen, murderous, killing murderer, asks them, now, where's the Christ going to be born? And that's why I say to you many, many times, you have to, when you're witnessing to people about the Lord, you have to try to discern between those that are just curiosity seekers and those, or information seekers, from those that are really from their heart wanting to learn. Because you'll have people that will ask you questions supposedly as they're interested, and all they want to do is find out where you're at. You know, so they can classify you as whether they think you're a nut or whether they don't think you're a nut. They're really not interested in believing in what you believe. They just want to know where. So they'll ask you, and they'll look real concerned and really interested. But it's not for what the Lord knows the hearts. It's not for the right reasons. They're just information seekers. So here's one, a murderer, who really just wants to know, really for his own good and for his own protection, because he didn't want another king. So he said, they said to him, well, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what's been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means least. Now that's Micah 5, and I'll go back over there. They quoted it. In other words, they came to King Herod, and they said, well, Micah said, and it was, well, we all know it, that when the Messiah does come, whoever this person is, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Now see, that's how accurate these men were, and everybody knew it. So next time somebody tells you that this book is done away with, or that it's inaccurate, or that it's just full of inaccuracies and contradictions, tell them they're an idiot and don't know it. Now, Micah, go back to Micah. So he says in verse 2 there, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me, that is God, to be ruler in Israel. And his goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. So you know where he came from. Therefore, he will give him up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return, the sons of Israel, and he will arise and shepherd the flock. Now notice he, in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace. Now, if you want peace in life, and you meet people that say, oh, I just want peace, I just want peace, you know, I just want peace. Well, if you want peace, then he is your peace. And if you don't want him, then regardless of how many times you say you want peace, you don't really want peace, because he is your peace. And you'll never have peace until you want him. So chapter 4, verse 1 says, in the last days it'll come about that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief mountains. Now, he's not talking about, as we've said many times, a physical mountain. We are that mountain because we're made up of individual stones, like a mountain is made up of stones, and as a building. And we went through all of the examples and different phraseology that the Bible uses to describe this collection of believers that will be raised together by God. And he says, this mountain is going to be established as the chief of mountains, and it'll be raised above the hills, and people will stream into it. Many nations will come and say, come, let's us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house. Now he calls it a house. First did he calls it a mountain, then he calls it a house. Let's go up to the house of the God of Jacob. Why? So that he can teach us about his ways and that we may walk in his paths. Well, you see that there's coming, he says, in the last days, this growth in the body of Christ, and people from darkness are going to seek the kingdom of God. And he's going to establish this collection of believers as very great in the earth, and that they would do the work of God in the last days. Now, in Isaiah chapter 60, so you know there from that prophecy, then the last days, God is going to do a great work through Christians. They're going to spread the gospel. They're going to be lights for the earth and for people, and anybody that's willing, now notice they were had to be willing, they would come and say, let's go up to the house of God, to this mountain. Now they don't know it's a mountain, they understand when they come, they just come into God. But it's called, they're really being collected into this gathering of believers. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory is going to appear upon you. There's a lot we could look at in that scripture, but what we're talking about right at this moment is the fact that there is darkness that will cover the earth in the last days. But he also says that there will be some people that will shine brightly and have the, look what it says, the glory of God will appear upon them. Well, how do you mean? What do you mean the glory of God will appear upon them? Well, if do you know anybody that you've ever seen that the glory of God appeared upon them? Well, I mean in the physical. Have you ever looked at someone and said, well, you know, I'm looking at them in the physical. Well, don't all people in the earth look the same? I mean, I look at Jamie, I look at these people all over the place, and they all look the same to me. But yet the Lord said by his own mouth that in the last days the glory of the Lord would appear upon some. Well, he didn't mean physically. It's in the spirit realm. And if you're not spiritual, we all will look the same. And that's why people can take real good Christians, people anointed of the Spirit, knowledgeable of God, walking in the ways of God, and spit on them because they're looking in the physical. And they have no ability to perceive spiritually. And so they just say, oh, well, they're all the same. But you know, we're not all the same. Because he just got through saying that darkness would cover the earth, but. So when darkness does cover the earth, as you see it happening, why does that bother us? Or why are we afraid? Or why would we be concerned? We're not. Because the glory of the Lord will appear upon any of these in the last days that want it. But they have to want it. Now, he goes on to say some other things, but look at verse 7. All the flocks of Kedar will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will minister to you. They will go up with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify my glorious house. That's what he's doing in the last days. That's why Micah said that the Lord's house, the real people of God in the last days, not the one that darkness is taking over, but the real Christians of God, he would glorify this glorious house in the last days. And he is glorifying us. But if you're not going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, there is no glory because he is that glory. If you don't want to be filled with the Spirit, you can't have the glory that he's talking about he wants to do in the last days through his people. Just to trust his cleansing blood,
just and simple faith. I hope you enjoyed today's message. The title of the message is God's Plan for the Last Days. If you'd like a copy, you can look us up on the web at mrcstl.org or marksslay.org. That's marksslay.org. Or you can call our office at 314-965-8488. 314-965-8488. Until next time, this is Reverend Mark Slay reminding you that God is your life. To trust.